So I just want to thank Pastor Steve and Pastor Becky for having me back. Let's go ahead and give the Lord a bigger, even bigger hand clap right now. Come on. I want you to stand to your feet right now. Come on, stand to your feet right now. And I want you to praise him for 30 seconds like you never have before. Come on. Come on. Come on now. Come on now. Come on. Come on, lift him up, lift him up, lift him up, lift him up. Come on. Hey! Come on now. Come on now, New Hope. I know you can do better than that. Come on. Come on. Come on. 10 more seconds. 10 more seconds. Come on. Woo! You may be seated. I had heard this funny joke about 2-3 weeks ago, and I usually don't tell jokes when I come to a church to preach, but I thought this one was pretty funny, and I told my wife, I said, I got a joke that I want to tell, and she said, you better run that by me first before you do, to see if it's really funny. So I gave it to her, and she thought it was funny. So there was a little old lady. She lived alone, and she was in her house one night, and it was about 12 o'clock in the morning, and she heard this rattling, this noise up in her living room. So she gets up, and she goes, and she peeks out the door, and she sees this burglar inside her house. And she yells out, Acts 2:38! Which is repent and be baptized. And she closes the door, and the burglar jumps up in the corner with his hands up in the air like this. And the little old lady goes back into her room. She calls the cops. The cops show up. And when the cops come into the house, they find this burglar in the corner with his hands up in the air just shaking like this. And as the cops are taking this burglar out of the house to the cop car, the policeman asked him, why were you so afraid of that little old lady that we found you so petrified with your hands up in the air? Why were you so afraid of this little old lady? He said, she yelled out the door to me that I have an axe and 2.38s. For those who might not get that, she had an axe and 2.38s. She had 2 pistols. I was trying to reiterate that a little bit. They're going to be putting the scripture verses up on the wall. I feel that this is a timely message this morning for this church. Amen. And I want to tell you, maybe some of you might not truly understand what we're saying. That's why we're going to just dive in deep, and we're going to just expound a little bit on some stuff before we really get a little bit deeper into this. But we're going to be talking about walking in the realm of the prophetic anointing. I'm going to say that again. Walking in the realm of the prophetic anointing. I believe that God wants us to be walking in a spiritual realm that the anointing is on us, that we would be able to prophetically speak stuff forward. Amen? My wife and I, we travel all over. We hit about 45, 50 different churches a year. And I want to tell you that the gift of prophecy is the least thing that I see happening in the church today. I don't see a lot of people getting up too much, giving a thus saith the Lord from the Lord. Amen? And I believe that it's something that's dying off in the church. It's something that's not being done anymore. Now, I know there's been a lot of churches that they just cut that stuff completely off. If somebody gets up and they give a word, you know, they'll just cut that off because they've been burned so many times before. I want to tell you, I've heard some goofy stuff in my life, my friends, but that does not mean not to allow God to move. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to get into this. Take a look at our very first scripture verse up here. Now, before we get into our main text, which will be in 1 Samuel chapter 10, before we get into that main text, I want to talk to you about 2 different topics before we get into this. I want to talk about the anointing, and I want to talk about prophecy. We're going to talk about the anointing, and we're going to talk about prophecy. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And it says here, "And it shall come to pass in those days that the burden shall be taken away from them off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." I love what some translation says, that the anointing shall break the yoke. I'm going to say that again, that the anointing should break the yoke. My friends, there is an anointing that is upon you because you are a believer in Jesus Christ. You have an anointing that is on you and in you to be able to break off chains in your life and in other people's life in your church. Amen? There's an anointing on you. The anointing breaks the yoke. It breaks bondages. It breaks curses. God has put an anointing on you. Corporately, as a church, and as an individual, my friends. The anointing breaks the yoke. If you are going through anything here this morning, whether it might be pornography or drugs or anything else, the anointing can break that. The anointing can break those things off your life. Go to the next verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." Now notice what it says there. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Say, "I got an anointing." Say it one more time like you're convinced of it. Yes, you do. Look what it says there. "But you have an anointing from the Holy One." Who has anointed you to be able to do what you've been called out to do? It's been God, amen? God has anointed you to do stuff. It says, "But you have received an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." The anointing will teach you things, amen? The anointing will teach you things that you don't know about. You know, you see people just walking around randomly in life and don't know what to do with themselves. It's because they're not walking in the anointing that God has put on them and placed in them. Look what it goes on. It says, "The anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." Verse 27, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you." Say, "The anointing is in me." One more time, "The anointing is in me." It says, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." Now, I know some people, I've seen this taken in place in church. Now, look what it says there. It says, "The anointing, does, I have the anointing, and I don't need any teacher. I don't need anybody teaching me nothing." Huh? You ever come across those people? My friends, that's not what it's saying there. What it's saying is there, it's saying that you will know the difference between right and wrong. It's not saying that you don't need a pastor, you don't need a teacher, you don't need to be some lone ranger out there to being able to do everything on your own. That's not what it's saying there, amen? But look what it says there. It says, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and do not need anyone to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things." How many know that the anointing will teach you about all things that you need to know about in your life? Amen. The anointing will just be on you, and you'll be able to know things. You'll be able to walk out things in your life because of the anointing that is in you. It says the anointing teaches you concerning all things. How many of you might be going through a struggle right now? Amen. How many know that the anointing that's on your life and that's in you, you'll be able to walk out those things, and it won't be as hard as what it is right now? Amen. Because it will teach you. If you're going through a job loss right now, my friends, I want to tell you the anointing will teach you how to get another job and an even better job than the one you just lost. I'll go on there. Look at the next verse. 1 Corinthians. We're going to get into that just in a few minutes. But before we do, I want to tell you one time I was preaching at a church. And after I had preached, this lady walked up to me, and the church ran about 500-600 people. This woman walks up to me at the end of the service, and she says, "I want to tell you that the Lord has just spoken to me, and he said that you're going to lose the anointing after 2 years, and your ministry is going to fail." That's been 3 years ago. Now, I want to tell you why this woman said this to me. You ready? This is what I'm talking about, the silly stuff that goes on in church. She said, you'll lose the anointing because you have a demon rooster in your hair. I had a faux hawk. How many know what a faux hawk is? That's where you take all your hair and you push it together and you make it a mohawk. Amen? And I had a faux hawk. And this woman said, you have a demon rooster in your head. And the anointing is going to be taken off you and your ministry is going to fail. My friends, this is the kind of silliness that I'm talking about that happens in church. Amen? This is the silliness that happens in church, where people say silly, off-the-wall stuff that doesn't make any sense. Amen? We talked about the anointing. Now we're going to talk about prophecy. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 here. It says, you should seek after love, and you should truly want to have spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. How many know that we should be seeking after prophecy in the church? It's something that's not talked about too much anymore in church. I've known of pastors who people have got up, given a word, and they've said, we don't do that here no more. We don't allow that anymore. My friends, this is something God wants in the church. I believe it's something that He wants in this day and age right now to be functioning and operating in the church right now. Look what it says there. You should truly want all spiritual gifts, but especially the gift of prophecy. We should especially be seeking the gift of prophecy. Look at the next verse. Verse 3. But those who prophesy are speaking to people to give them strength, encouragement, and comfort. When there is a word of prophecy in a church, it should be strengthening people, it should be encouraging people, and it should be comforting people. If it is a bunch of nonsense, then you know that it's not from God. Amen? It says here that whoever gives this prophecy, it needs to be strengthening, encouraging, and comforting people. This is what prophecy should do. Prophecy should strengthen, comfort, and encourage people. Now look at verse 5. I wish all of you had the gift of speaking in different tongues, but more, I wish that you would prophesy. Those who prophesy are greater than those who speak in different languages or speak in tongues. Unless someone is there who can explain what is said, that is, the whole church can be helped or edified. The church should be edified when there's a prophecy given. Amen? Now, what's the one spiritual gift that everybody always wants? Everybody wants to speak in tongues, right? And there's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But God is telling us right here in this scripture verse that prophecy is something that we need to be seeking after in the body of Christ. Amen? That the church, it says that the whole church would be helped or edified. How many know that if somebody stands up and it's a thus saith the Lord, the whole church is going to be helped. The whole church is going to be edified. They're going to be encouraged in that. Amen? Now look at the next one, verse 7. Go to the next one. Go back. There it is. So the gift of speaking in different kinds of languages is a sign of those who do not believe, not for those who believe. And prophecy is for people who believe, not for those who do not believe. So who's prophecy for? It's for the church. It's for us. Not for non-believers. It's for church folk. Church folk should be able to have prophecy going on in their church. That the church would be strengthened, encouraged, and comforted, and edified as a whole body. He goes on and says there in verse 23, suppose the whole church meets together and everyone speaks in different tongues. If some people come in who do not understand or do not believe, will they not say that you are all crazy? And we've seen that happen in church, amen, where a whole church is just going crazy in tongues, and there has to be order to that, amen? I just want to get off sidetrack here just for a little bit, but over in the LA Times about 2 years ago, there's an Assembly of God church the pastor said, we are not allowing anybody to speak in tongues in our congregation anymore. No more tongues, because it's going to scare people off. New people coming in, it's going to scare them off, so we're not going to do that anymore. My friends, that's just wrong, amen? I know people might think that it's crazy when they're coming in, but I want to tell you that God does not want that to be stifled. He doesn't want that to die off in the church. Look what it goes on and says here. It says, but suppose everyone is prophesying and some people come in who do not believe or do not understand. If everyone is prophesying, their sins will be shown to them and they will be judged by all that they hear. Now it says here that if prophecy comes, there's going to come conviction with that. Amen? You know, sometimes you might say to yourself, you always hear people say, you know, I'm going to go to this big evangelistic service, and if the minister calls me out, then I know that it's from God. Amen? You know, people always, I don't know, I've heard people say that all the time. Oh, I know that I need to hear from God. Or something. You know, I believe that sometimes that's what prophecy does. Prophecy speaks something out. It reveals something to you. Amen? It reveals maybe even hidden sins or things that you're going through in your life. Look at verse 25. The secret things in their hearts will be made known to them. How many know that God wants to reveal secrets of your heart? Amen. He wants to bring stuff alive to you. And I believe it's through that prophecy, through the gift of prophecy. It goes on and says, be known so that they will bow down and worship God, saying, truly, God is with you. How many know that if prophecy is alive and well here at New Hope Assembly of God, I believe that new people who will come in will say, surely God is here and truly He's alive. Amen? I want to tell you, in all my travels, I know that this message right here is going to stick, because I know that this is the heart of this church. Amen? You know, I was in a church service one time. And there was a guy that stood up in a congregation. He said, behold, God is pouring out a bowl of Fritos on the congregation. And then he sat back down. How do I know that that's not strengthening, that's not encouraging, that's not comfort? Amen? It's just talking nonsense. I don't know if the guy was hungry or what. But that's not strengthening. That's not encouraging. Amen? Go to the next verse. Look at this. It should be verse 39 through 40. So my brothers and sisters, you should truly want to prophesy. What's he saying there? You should truly want to prophesy. There shouldn't be one person here at New Hope this morning that shouldn't want to be able to work out walking in the anointing, being able to prophesy stuff forward. He says, my brothers and sisters, you should truly want to prophesy, but do not stop people from speaking in different kind of tongues. Should we allow that to stop in the church? No. Just as we shouldn't have never allowed prophecy to stop in the church either. Amen? It says, stop from using gifts and kinds of languages, verse 40, but let everything be done in a right and orderly way. Amen? Everything has to be done in order. Amen? One time, my wife and I, we were preaching at a church, and this gentleman walked up to me, and he started prophesying over me, and he said, God is telling me to tell you right now that sooner you get a passport, sooner your ministry is going to launch out internationally. And I want to tell you, there was something that went off inside my spirit when he said that to me, Pastor Steve. I knew that it was from God, amen? And you'll know whether a prophecy is from God or if it's not, amen? It's going to line up with your spirit. I know some people, they just take a prophecy and they just run with it. You know, somebody had told them that they were supposed to leave their spouse and they go leave their spouse. How many of you ever heard of stuff like this before? Well, that's no more God than I don't know what, amen? But people always get these words, and you'll know by the witness of the Holy Spirit whether a prophecy is from God or not. Amen? This one time, for some reason, God speaks to me a lot when I eat. I don't know why. But I was having lunch one day, and I was looking out the window, and I was just meditating on God, and God told me, I'm going to bring a woman to you, and she's going to prophesy over you about how your ministry is going to grow. This is about 15 years ago. And I said, all right, God. So an hour went by, and nobody ever came. 2 hours came. 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. And still no woman's coming to me, speaking over me about how my ministry is going to grow. And then what ended up happening was my wife, she still lived at her family's. We weren't married yet. And she had just got off work, and I drove over to where her parents lived. And I told her everything God had told me about how this woman was supposed to come to me and prophesy to me about how my ministry was supposed to grow. And I said, I don't know if it's going to be you. I don't know if it's going to be your mother, because you're the only two women that are Christian that I'm going to even see today. So her and I, we ended up getting in her car, and we drove to this park. It was called Peter's Wood Trail. And we were walking on this trail, and we came across Days of Elijah being played. How many know that song, Days of Elijah? We came across this song, and it was at a pavilion, and we walked up to this group of people talking there, and they were with the Women's Aglow Fellowship. And out of nowhere, this woman named Nancy, who's never met me in her life, runs up to me, lays hands on me, and starts speaking into me, my life, saying, your ministry's going to grow one day, and you're going to be totally just amazed what God's going to do. And she just starts speaking all this stuff to my life, and I just go down in the spirit. And I want to tell you, my friends, what God said to me 15 years ago, I see coming to pass in my life today, and I'm going to continue. I hold on to that. I hold on to that word that God gave me. And I'll tell you what, when prophecy is given and you truly know that it's from God, you'll hold on to it for dear life, my friends. When you know that it's God. Amen. We're going to get into our main text right now. I want them to put up 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. Look what it says here. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, it is not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance. Notice that Saul was anointed by Samuel to be king. Amen. In the Old Testament, there was only three people that were able to be anointed. The kings, the priests, and the prophets. Those were the only three people. Now we see here that he's being anointed. He's got a work of service. How many know that you're called to do a work of service for God? To walk out in the anointing that God has placed on your life. He's anointed you to do something for the kingdom. God has an inheritance for you that you are anointed to do. Amen? Look what it says there. He's anointed him. I want to tell you that God is going to anoint you to walk in the realm of the prophetic anointing. Amen? I believe God is an anointing on you to be able to walk in this realm that he's called you to do. Verse 2, when you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say to you, the donkeys which you went looking for have been found, and now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Next verse. Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the Terebinth tree of Tabor. There are three men going up to the God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three goats, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. Verse 4, and they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you will receive from their hands. Verse 5, and after all, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. Now I want to stop there. It says that you will come to the hill of God. I believe that God wants us to come to a place right now where we're going to be able to meet him, for him to do some extraordinary stuff in our lives. Amen. And I want to tell you, God might take you to a place where it might seem scary for you. It says that they're coming to the place of the Philistine garrison. They were petrified of the Philistines, my friend. And I believe sometimes God will take you to a scary place to be able to go and find where he's at. It says that you will go to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you come to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instruments and tambourines and flutes and harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Now, I love what some translations say, that when Saul ran into those prophets, it said that he joined in with them. I believe that God wants us to join in with the prophets this morning, amen, to be able to prophesy and speak stuff forward. Look what it goes on and says, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. It says that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy and be turned into a different man. I want to tell you, walking the realm of the prophetic anointing, you will be changed into a different person. You ain't going to be the same person. If you're walking the anointing that God has put on your life and you prophesy among the prophets, I want to tell you, my friends, you will no longer be the same. You'll be a different person. He says there, and turn into another man, verse 7, and it will be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. I want to tell you that I believe this morning here at New Hope that God has an occasion to be met this morning. I believe that he has right now, for this purpose and this time, right now in our lives, as the occasion demands, God wants us to stand up and speak forth what he has laid on our hearts this morning. He says there that let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. My friends, I want to tell you, God is with you. And I want to tell you that you need to take advantage of the opportunity as the occasion demands and speak stuff forth. Speak stuff forth over this church. Speak stuff forward over your family. Speak stuff over in this community. I believe God has anointed you to prophesy and speak stuff. Now look what he says there. Verse 8. You shall go down before me into Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. My friends, I want to tell you that God wants to change your heart this morning. I believe he wants to change your mind, your attitude, the way you think about stuff, that you would be able to walk in this realm of the prophetic anointing and not be the same person anymore. That you're going to be believing in God to do what he says he'll do and speak that stuff forward. It says God will give you another heart. And just as Samuel said it, it ended up happening that day. That's what prophecy is, my friends. When God says it, he'll do it. Amen. When God says it, he'll do it. It goes on and says there, when they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Just as Samuel said, it came to pass. And that's what prophecy does. When God gives it, it will always come to pass. Amen. When that word is given, it will always happen. That's what prophecy is. It's true. It's not a lie. Amen. God will speak something and it will come to pass. And that's what we see happening here. It says, when they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him, and the Spirit of God came upon him. I want to tell you, anytime you are walking in the realm of the prophetic anointing, the Spirit of God will always fall. It will always be present there. You can't prophesy on your own. You can't walk in the anointing on your own. It's because of the Spirit of God being there. Says the Spirit of God came upon him and he prophesied among them. And it happened when all who knew him formerly saw that indeed he prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? I want to tell you, when you walk in the realm of the prophetic anointing, people won't recognize you anymore. You're not going to talk the same. You're not going to act the same. You're not going to be the same person anymore, my friends. Go to the next verse. Then a man from there answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb. Is Saul among the prophets? And when he had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. How many know that once you prophesy, you always have to go back to the high place? You always got to go back to God and get another word. Amen. That's the problem. People get a word from God and they never want to go back to hear anything else he had to say. And it goes on and says, then Saul's uncle said to him and his servants, where did you go? And he said, to look for the donkeys. When he saw that they were nowhere to be found, he went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, please, what Samuel said to you. So Saul said to his uncle, he told us plainly the donkeys had been found, but about the matter of the kingdom, he did not tell him. I want to tell you, there is things that you will not be able to tell people that what God revealed to you. Amen. I want to tell you, do you know what would probably have happened if Saul would have told his uncle, hey, Samuel said, I'm going to be king? He would have been probably discouraged. His uncle would have probably told him he was a fool for even believing that. You don't tell everybody God what God revealed to you, amen? Because they'll probably discourage you and try to talk you out of it. Amen? So we see here that God wants his spirit to rest and that anointing to be on us and in us to be able to speak forth and prophesy what God has laid on our hearts. Amen? Look at this next verse over here in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 through 3. The hand of the Lord came upon me there and brought me to where the Spirit of the Lord was. There it is again. I want to tell you, anytime there's prophecy, the Spirit of God will be present. He will be there manifested among you. Amen? Now look what it says there, that the Spirit of the Lord was upon me and put me in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. Indeed, they were very dry, and he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, Lord God, only you know. That's like some of the answers we would give God. You know, God's telling you to do it, and you're saying, well, God, only you truly know. I'm just a mere man. What do I know? My friends, I believe God has given you the capability, the mindset to be able to do what he's called and accomplished you to do. Amen. Look at the next verse. And again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I believe that's what God wants us to do in our church, in our city, and in our communities, is to speak to those dry bones, to speak to dead things, and to call things back to life, to call things that are not as if they were. I believe that's what God is calling the church to do this morning. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and you shall have flesh brought upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and then you shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied that there was a noise, and suddenly a rally, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Notice, after he prophesied, what he had prophesied, what he spoke forth, came to pass. Look what he says there. It says, and I prophesied as I was commanded. I believe God is commanding us this morning to speak forth, to prophesy, to call things that are not as if they were, to call things into existence this morning, because he's put this in us. He's anointed us to do it, to be able to prophesy this stuff forward. Look what happens. I prophesied as I was commanded, and then what happened? What he prophesied came to pass. Amen. Quickly put up Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 2. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all those who dwell in Jerusalem, these men are not drunk as you suppose that it is only the third hour, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days. How many know that we're in the last days? My friends, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is closer to coming back today than what he was yesterday. And I believe that this is the reason why prophecy needs to be happening in the church. I believe that prophecy is a sign of the end times. When God's people start prophesying and speaking stuff forward again, I want to tell you, it's a sign of the times, of the end times. Look what it says. In the last days, say, I'm living in the last days, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. There it is again. If we're going to walk in the realm of the prophetic anointing, the hand of God, the Spirit of the Lord must be present. It says there that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Go on. And on my men servants and maiden servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. You see what it says there? In those last days I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. This is what should be happening in the church right now. This is what God wants for the church right now. Prophecy to be coming forward. You know, how many of you have been seeing about the blood moons? There's so many books written on it now and TV shows. Or, you know, ministers are talking about this so much. It says here, look what it says. I will show wonders in the heaven and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming and great awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friends, we are living in the last days. Amen. And I believe that in the last days, God wants to restore the gift of prophecy, that we would be walking the realm of the prophetic anointing. Amen. And it says here that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe there's coming an end time great harvest. Amen. I want every eye closed, every head bowed right now. You just got done hearing me say that we're living in the end times. My friends, you don't have very much time. The signs in the heavens show it. The blood moons are showing it. We're coming close, I believe. And I want to give you an opportunity that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's nobody watching right now. It's just you, me, and God right now. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. You can't be a good enough person to get into heaven by yourself. It's by you putting faith in Jesus Christ that can get you there. It's not by your parents having a membership at the church or your grandfather helping building the church. It's all by you and your walk with him. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. In other words, today is the day to get saved. Today is the day to know that you have assurance to get to heaven, because the Bible says you know not what tomorrow brings. With every head bowed and every eye still closed, there's nobody watching. It's just you, me, and Jesus right now. If you want to have an assurance that if you were to die today, that you would make it to heaven, I just want you to put your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands going all over across this place. With every head bowed and every eye still closed this morning, I want you to just say this prayer with me. Everybody in the house, just repeat this after me. Say, "Dear Lord, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. And cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. Make me the person you want me to be. Today, I accept you as Lord, as Savior, and my very best friend. In Jesus' name, amen." The Bible says if you prayed that, your name's written in the book of life this morning. It also says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing over you. Amen. I want you to go ahead. I want you to stand to your feet right now. I want you to come to this altar this morning corporately as a body of Christ. I want you to come. We're gonna start believing that God's going to do some stuff in the spiritual realm this morning. Amen. I believe that God has anointed us. Pastor Steve and I are going to eventually come around. We're going to lay hands on you and pray for you. But I want us to get out of our comfort zone this morning. How many know that the church has been way too comfort? Amen. They've been in comfort too long, my friends. We need to get up off our comfy padded chairs sometimes and move forward in what God has for us as a church. Amen. Now, I know that this might not seem normal to you, and that's all right. Amen. But I want you to go ahead and I want you to speak forth what God has laid on your heart this morning. You might say, "Well, I don't think God spoke to me this morning." It's all right. I believe God has put stuff deep down inside. There's deep stuff down inside your spirit that God has for you, that he wants you to speak out. It's just not anything to where you have to be, you know, a lot of people, "Well, I don't want anybody to hear what I'm saying, so I'm just going to say it like this. I believe God wants you to speak it out. That's what Ezekiel did. He says he prophesied out what was commanded of him. Amen. And I believe that God has intercessors in this church. I believe God has people in this church that God has revealed stuff to about this church, about this community, about our nation, about people in this church. I want you to just prophesy what God has laid on your heart. If you're believing for your unsaved friends, your coworkers, your family, your neighbors, I want you to prophesy. Speak over their lives right now. Now, don't be frightened by this. I want you to go ahead and I want you to just start lifting your voice right now. Just proclaim it. Just declare what God has for you right now. Come on. Lift your voice. Come on.